Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. Yes, today is another show dealing with metaphysics and spirituality. And in particular, I thought it would be interesting to talk about what is evil. Yeah, I thought it would be good to talk about that particular subject. I'm sure there's some of you out there who think evil doesn't exist. It's just some kind of social problem or upbringing, or people have maybe some kind of defect in their neural systems or whatever. I've heard a lot of explanations. I have a different one than those. And you're going to hear it today because it's metaphysical. Now, if you would like to give me your reasons, even if it's any of the ones I just mentioned or others, or if you want to talk about anything dealing with metaphysics and spirituality, well, I'm on the air. Just give me a call. If you're in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. Those of you in Canada, you can reach us by 1-888-8-3-8-8-1-5. I got to get that number here. 9756. Don't remember that one very easily. Yeah, I'd love to hear from someone from Canada, actually, just to find out how things are going on up there. We've got, in Phoenix, that's where I'm hanging out right now, over 100 degrees. You know, nice to know how things are in Canada, but it's probably a lot cooler. And if you would like to talk to me in any respect, at any time, you can also email me at thoughts@whylifeis.com. So that's an option that you've got. Now, let's talk about what is evil. As usual, I'm going to give my definition. I'll call it the McFlower definition of evil. Now, this is a little different than some people might think, but I hope that once I've explained it, it may make some sense. Evil is really the product of twists in consciousness, and it doesn't occur to beings who aren't fairly conscious to begin with. And it starts, generally speaking, with human beings. Could a dog or a cat be evil? Well, not exactly. Not unless they were exceptionally conscious to begin with for their species, and if they usually would need to have considerable contact with an evil human being. But in terms of, generally speaking, evil starts and virtually ends with the human kingdom. Why is that the case? Well, you've got to be fairly conscious, meaning as conscious as humans are, in order to be able to reject what evil rejects and to have an understanding of what evil, we'll say, turns around or reverses. And without that level of consciousness, you can't attain the level of evil that I'm going to be explaining to you. But, of course, you might say, well, okay, then go ahead and explain it. Okay, I will. Here it is. Evil is the rejection of there being someone or something superior to the kingdom of humanity. In other words, evil says nothing out there greater than me and us, us being humanity, but particularly me being a member of that humanity. And not only that, but I don't want anybody trying to control me. I don't want anybody trying to get me to do whatever it is that it does. And I want to be completely, quote-unquote, free to do whatever I want. And ultimately, this leads to a rejection of the Creator, or God, because, after all, if God created us, then evil would say, well, I don't want anything out there trying to step on my toes when I'm doing whatever I want to do, and that includes the Creator, if there were one. Now, interestingly, evil at least professes that there is no such thing as God, per se. In other words, they might say there are gods, or there is a God of some sort, but not God as it is defined in metaphysics, or at least the spiritual side of God as I define it. So, basically, they reject that concept, and they certainly reject most of the religions and religious tenets which explain God in some fashion. The purpose of evil is to reverse spiritual development, reverse it, and to reverse what life is itself. And you might say, well, what is life? Life is, in spiritual terms, as I've defined it, the growth of our Creator. That's what it is, the growth of our Creator. So, ultimately, evil seeks to stop the growth of life itself. You might say, well, wait a second. Isn't evil alive? If evil really exists, it's trying to reverse the growth of itself. Well, I didn't say evil was smart. I just said what it's trying to do. You know, it might be extremely stupid in what it's doing, which it is, by the way. But it, nonetheless, it has this desire. And the purpose of reversing is for the purpose of giving it control and power over other parts of life. It seeks to be the creator. It seeks to be its own God. It seeks to have its own will forced on to whatever and whomever that it comes into contact with. Now, that's an interesting point. Most people think that evil wants to get things and have fun and pleasure, etc. Those are kind of byproducts of that of the process I'm referring to. But the real foundation of evil has to do with misplaced will, will that seeks to have its own way and to replace God with itself, in a mini scale at least, if not a major scale. So it, this is the thing. You can, one of the hallmarks, one of the ways we could tell whether something might be evil, is that it has this overwhelming urge, desire, to control others and to seek to impart its will over and on others, reducing the freedom of others at a tremendous cost oftentimes to those others, while it increases its power to continue to do the same with greater and greater others. This is a kind of interesting parallel to some of the kinds of ways that we think of people who, will say, have been really quote-unquote dark or evil in our historical history. And generally speaking, when they've become leaders of countries or they become leaders of military operations or armies, generally speaking, the people who are evil are seeking to enforce their will over others to reduce their freedom, reduce the growth of their life, while they increase the power to do more of the same over masses or greater numbers of people. Now, you might say, okay, well, then what is it in it? What is in it for evil? How do they figure they're going to get something out of it if this is what they're really about? Well, it kind of looks like something like this. Evil denies that there is not just God, but there is spirit. It denies that there is anything that deals with the thought of its own creator. They, it, evil, and they that follow evil, believe that life and thought together are about what one can do with material things and have material outcomes to. Or if it isn't material, like another dimension of the time and space besides the one we exist in, then it has to do with the ability to manipulate and control energy. Now, you might say, well, what's so big about that anyway? Well, here on Earth right now, we're all immersed in this kind of lifestyle of there being material form and energy being really what life is about. So it lends itself to the ease of falling into the trap of darkness and eventually evil. Now, when I say darkness, I don't mean darkness is the same as evil. Darkness just means that someone is turning away from creating more of God to creating more of things. And being involved with that is a process. Evil is another step. Evil means that you not only want those things and have a lot of energy and control over the energy or control over the material things, depending upon what dimension of time and space you're really focused in. But the most important thing is that evil wants to do that other thing that I mentioned. Is they want to have their will imposed on others. It's really important to them that they control other life and the choices and freedom of other life. You know evil when that feeling is coming across you, to you very strongly about whoever or whatever you are dealing with. Now, another thing that's really interesting about evil, and I hope I'm not upsetting some people with these thoughts, because I know that some people really don't believe that evil exists. So, but I'm going to tell you this, that evil wants to convince people that it doesn't exist. You might say, well, why would it want that? Well, because evil is most successful when others are not going about noticing it. It's much more successful when others believe that it's only having a bad day, or there are some psychological reasons for its existence, or maybe it really is telling the truth in a twisted way, and others are really the ones that are lying. Evil is dependent upon, basically, ignorance and illusion in those who are not evil, so that it can do what it does. It doesn't have the ability to overcome someone who is very aware and conscious. It only can do so with those who are in illusion. And the first illusion it depends upon is that those it comes in contact with do not specifically believe that evil either exists or exists in the way in which I'm describing it. So ultimately, it has the ability to fool people. How does it do that? Well, by concocting reversals of thought. It reverses almost 180 degrees the truth of things so that it sounds almost like what it's saying is truth. The weird thing about falsity is it's much easier to understand false thinking when it's less than 180 degrees or more than, depending on how you want to look at it, from the truth. But when it's exactly reversed, it's very difficult for the, we'll say, more average thinking person to really determine that something is not truthful. Evil knows that, and so it reverses, most of the time, truth. It doesn't create necessarily new ideas and thought. It's not very creative because it would require a lot more consciousness than evil can maintain in itself. Consciousness comes from giving and loving, and that's what evil chooses not to do. It chooses to take and destroy and to control. Consciousness comes from taking responsibility and giving up control, loving others and giving and planning and helping others to be more of the same. Evil says, nope, that's not for me. And because of that, it can't raise its consciousness to be very creative most of the time. So the best it can do is do this kind of weird reversal of thought stuff, which helps it to hide out because it's very hard for us to see that. One of the reasons it's so hard is because when you totally reverse the thought of, we'll say, what is truthful, it becomes very difficult to disprove without having almost a complete understanding of what the truth is. Whereas if you're somewhere in between reversing the thought and not, more, we'll say, average thinking people can notice that it isn't as truthful as truth is without having a complete understanding of the truth. Now, I'm not going to go through all the reasons why that is the case, because that's getting into some very advanced metaphysics. But nonetheless, if you really want to know about that, just give me a call. I'll talk to you about it all you want. But I'm giving you some bases of how evil functions today, not going into the fine details of this whole thing. And I don't want to bore some people with all these details at any rate. Okay, so evil has this need to control others, and it gets this need by seeking to be God itself and seeking to be its own creator rather than the creator of someone else. But I'm going to tell you a little something that's really interesting. And that is that evil exists outside of humanity per se, in that it has developed itself into sort of a group-type soul that exists in a number of places, but actually exists in one of the earliest galaxies that it took over and became part of, and even outside of the galaxy. That's really weird, around the galaxy. And that particular galaxy, instead of developing a giant supermassive black hole and expending all its energy and feeding it back into other higher dimensions of time and space, which is another story, actually sits out there in the universe, almost the other side of the universe from us, and is able to communicate with anyone who chooses to think like it thinks. So guess what? evil has like its own god, which is this group soul of evil, which actually ensouls someone who gives up their individual soul to move backwards in evolution and get a group soul like animals have. And it, this is the soul that that helps to keep evil people going. Now, tell me, that isn't strange. They want to be free. They want to be in control of their lives. And they give themselves over to a super nasty, horrible soul that actually confines them and controls them more than any individual soul would ever possibly even consider. Tell me that isn't stupid. Evil is about as stupid as you can get. But it doesn't know that, unless it's listening. And I hope it is. As a matter of fact, maybe in a zillion years, this radio show will reach that other galaxy and they'll hear it. That'll fix them. But, you know, before that, we can really do evil in, and we can make a lot of changes to evil. And I still need to explain a little bit more about what evil is and does. But in order to get to that point, we're going to have to probably wait for the next segment. But I want to let you know this, that what I'm telling you about evil should not in any way concern those that are doing good in the world, because goodness is incredibly creative, incredibly amazingly strong, and quite able to defeat evil, provided that on the first score that one realizes that evil exists. Now, the other thing I wanted to mention before we go to break is that if evil is discovered, the other way it gets us is to convince us that it's everywhere. It's ubiquitous throughout our lives, our universe, everywhere. And it's controlling everything. So we then develop a paranoia about it. So either it wants to be completely hidden and to get convince us it doesn't exist, but then once we're onto it, then it wants to convince us it's everywhere. And so we overreact and confine ourselves and destroy our own freedom without it having to do much of anything because we're so worried about it. Now, isn't that something? Well, listen, we'll talk more about that and much more when we come back from break in about 2 minutes.
Since childhood, I've had questions about my life and life in general that I couldn't find adequate answers to. Questions like, why am I here? Why are others here? Does the universe have a purpose? And how does that relate to my life? More recently, I've been wondering what happens when we die, especially the reasons why. I'm more of a doubter than a believer in many things, and answers that include the whys allow me to think and figure out the truth for myself. I've been reading a book, Life's Hidden Meaning. This one book contains more answers, including the whys, than all other sources I've read or heard. It's amazing to me that every one of my questions has been thoroughly answered. More importantly, I have found that all of these answers so far have checked out to be true. I hope this message helps some of you in your quest for better understanding. The name of this wonderful book is, again, Life's Hidden Meaning by metaphysician Niles McFlower. Some bookstores sell it. I got my copy directly from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com. Life's Hidden Meaning may enlighten your mind and bring some peace and joy to your heart.
The following statements have not been evaluated by the FDA. ViroPel is a dietary supplement. It is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease.
Colds and flu are a problem that many want answers and alternatives for. Let me tell you about ViroPel, a certified all-organic herbal and nutraceutical formula designed to support relief from symptoms of cold and flu. With so much concern about potential bird flu outbreaks, there may be some help. ViroPel's patents include proven immune enhancement, adding significant preventative and other immune system benefits. In effectiveness trials, most experienced relief from symptoms in 2 to 3 days. Think about how long your last flu symptoms lasted. Incredible and amazing are the words most often used to describe the effects of ViroPel. Using 136 of the highest grade ingredients in a new science gives ViroPel its effectiveness. Relief could be just 1 to 3 days away. To learn more or to purchase ViroPel, call Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. That's 800-777-7850. Or visit ViroPel, that's ViruPel.org.
Well, we're back, and this is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And tonight I'm trying to go into what is evil. And if you would like to know more, or if you would like to discuss it, or say, hey, you're nuts, there's no such thing, give me a call because I'm here and I'd love to hear from you. And I'm going to continue now to give you some more of my ideas. Now, listen, I agree that these are my thoughts. I'm not saying that that they have to be all right, but certainly stuff that I've written about and taught for years, but nonetheless my thoughts about what is evil. Okay, so before we went to break, I mentioned that one of the little cunning things that evil does is once it is somewhat discovered, then it does the opposite. It says, oh, well, I can fix all those people. I'll do something just the opposite, because it likes doing opposites. And one of the things it does is it gets people who aren't necessarily evil convinced that evil is everywhere, yeah? And it's going to do terrible things to all of us without a minute's notice, and boom, boom. But the fact is that it's very, very inept. It has a lack of consciousness. So it takes it a long time to really accomplish most of the things that it wants to do. But it can do terrible things. I don't want to kid you about this. But certainly, if we are both aware and we are conscious and we are united to some extent in dealing with evil, evil will not be victorious in any respect because it is weak. It's not strong. Strength comes from consciousness and spirit, and it comes from the joining and balancing of spirit to form. Evil is extremely out of balance. It seeks to get massive amounts of form in both energy and matter, and it seeks power in place of consciousness. Power is like, again, the form side of life. It comes from exchanging energies from one state to another. And it does this with its own bodies to begin with. It actually feeds on others and uses the energy from others to keep its own body technically in a state of, we'll call it, immortality. But it isn't immortal at all. It just is convinced that it is. It thinks as long as it keeps growing in its power, it can keep its bodies alive for ages and infinite time. Now, I will tell you, there are some dark masters. Now, what are those? Well, those are very, very evil beings, and I mean about as evil as you get on this earth, who have been around for hundreds of thousands of years. Ooh, that's a long time. Now, they've managed to do this by getting a lot of their henchmen who are below them to keep taking energy from those that they possess, and rarely, but occasionally, one of these dark masters will even directly possess a human being themselves. Most of the time, they rely on others to do the possessing because they don't want to take the chances that are required. Those chances are that if they would try to possess someone, they have to be getting an awful lot of energy out of it, and they also have to be able to create a lot more evil from their possession, or else they could end up getting on the short side of the stick. Well, if that were to happen too often, they can actually do a thing called cracking. Well, cracking is when they don't get enough energy to keep their bodies going, and the next thing you know, instead of being human any longer, they are something less than human but still conscious as a human being. And they actually could go out and end up becoming an ant, or maybe a worm, or maybe a flower, maybe a weed, for millions and millions of lifetimes. Now, that is the only way that a human being can ever really transmigrate into a lower kingdom. Now, I know there's some religions, like the Hindus, etc., who believe otherwise, believe that human beings can, normal human beings, can just go back and become a cow or something. No. To my knowledge and my understanding, that's not possible. But there is the possibility of a human being doing it through evil, which is not a good thing. Got very confused in that religion, unfortunately, as sometimes religions do. And they don't necessarily agree with my understanding of the metaphysics of how the universe works. But nonetheless, evil can do that weird thing. They don't want to, and so they're sometimes forced to in order to continue out their existence. Because there is no such thing as death. Not even for evil. Eventually, evil will come around. Isn't that an amazing thing to think about? Eventually, evil will come around, and it will come around and have to grow itself back into humanity after millions and millions of lifetimes of different species until it gains an understanding of what it really means to be connected to its own creator, which is what humans have the capability of doing. We don't all do it, but it has that we have that capability. And then it has to choose to actually do it to get out of the swamp where it is and out of the terrible position it is in these terrible numbers of incarnations of low life, but still having the consciousness of a human being. Could you imagine crawling around on the ground? You're a little earthworm, you know, and you're getting nibbled by birds and who knows what else, and you get stepped on by people. But anyway, you're crawling around, but you actually have the consciousness of yourself, of who you are right now. And you go through lifetime after lifetime like that. You don't live very long, but you still experience that life of that creature from your perspective. Now tell me that isn't some payment for some doing some bad stuff. Yes, evil ends up, unfortunately, or maybe fortunately for us, having to pay back by contributing to the life all through the different kingdoms and life through all the different species and kingdoms that it has harmed. Because when you harm humans, which is what evil tries to do, you also harm all lower life, too, on a planet. You may eventually kill all the life on that planet. And it has to repay this. It's called karma. Evil cannot escape karma. It just delays it. You might say, well, how does it delay it? It delays karma by producing enough force or power, tremendous forces, to keep the karma from coming and rejoining with time concepts and time and space, and eventually events in time and space, so that the karma actually becomes its own life. It prevents that from happening by producing these enormous amounts of power that produce enormous amounts of forces, but all the forces are directed to others until the evil cracks. Yeah, it's really neat. Eventually it's going to, but it doesn't realize it. Now, it could take a 500,000 years. I'm not kidding you. It really could. But the longer it waits, the more it's going to de-evolve when it finally can't live as a human any longer. And the more it's going to end up going through this tremendous, tremendous pressure, tremendous, we'll say, miserable life or lifetimes. And have to pay back by contributing something in each lifetime towards the betterment of life in general. And you might say, well, how does it do that? Well, interestingly, if you have the consciousness of even a very, very low human being who used to be evil, and you're an earthworm, you're the smartest earthworm on the planet. And being the smartest earthworm on the planet is not such a non-contributory factor. It's actually a big factor. You're going to do things that are more intelligent than any other earthworm, which helps the group's soul to convey through its self-structure, to, giving instincts to all other earthworms, how to live a little bit better. Hey, what a payment system, huh? I like it. I think it's a great payback. And this is how it works in every life form that an evil being inhabits. Tell me that isn't a kicker. I love it. You know, and it's a system that is extremely fair. Some time ago, well, a few shows ago, I talked about, what is fairness in the universe? Well, you see, even in evil, there is a great deal of fairness, and this is the proof. People ask me, how do you prove that God exists? Well, if you understand the whole system, then you know. Because this proves to me, anyway, one of the ways God exists. You see, it's totally fair, even if it doesn't seemingly seem that way. And the surface, to many people, when they do notice or experience evil, they think it's very unfair because in brief periods of time, or even longer ones than that, evil can be very successful, at least in destroying some elements of the growth of life and in gaining great power. But in the long run, it pays a tremendous toll, and it has to repay all that it has done many times over, a minimum of 10 times. And it could go up to hundreds, thousands, you name it, millions. It could be so great that it's astronomical in its size to how much has to be repaid. because it isn't just the acts that an evil being does, or any of us do, but the consequences as they follow through to all others. So if you do something nasty, it isn't just what you did at the moment, but how it affects all others in time and space from that point forward, and how it makes other people maybe do nasty things. You see, and then it's like almost a contagious thing. And it moves through in that way. And then each thing that it contaminates, we take on some responsibility for, and it grows and grows and grows. So karma is something you don't want to delay, because when you delay it, the ultimate outcome is increased forces and a much meaner, nastier time getting over. And that's what evil faces. Wow. I'm going pretty fast here in explaining these concepts, but I wanted to cover a lot tonight about what is evil so that people can have a pretty good understanding. After all, if you're going to really be able to see it, you're really going to be able to understand it and know it, then you need to have some of these basics, because otherwise evil can be very slippery and convince you it doesn't exist. It's just a poor dictator that's trying to really make his country better. And you notice I use the word his. I'm going to tell you something else about evil that's kind of interesting. Most evil is contained on the male side of life. Oh, boy, I'm going to get some interesting responses from people who are, particularly from men, I think. But at any rate, most evil chooses to be male, because evil wants control over its existence, and one of the things that it can choose in each lifetime, once it becomes evil by giving up its soul and doing certain other terrible, nasty acts to other people, is it can then decide what sex it's going to be. And in most lifetimes, evil chooses to be male, because males are better at using power, and what they give up is consciousness, at least the growth of it, if not some innate amounts of it. And that's a more feminine quality, you see. So they're better at doing evil if they're male than if they're female. And females usually, when they are evil, or have experienced it in, have exuded it in some fashion in their life, they have done so under the tutelage and the direct effect from having communication with a male who is evil, or males who have been evil. Generally speaking, that's the case. Now, I know that sounds terrible for those of you who want egalitarian sex types of things going on between the different sexes, but the sexes have different strengths and weaknesses, and that's something that's metaphysical. That they're not the same, but they are complementary. And so women are better at probably not becoming evil, and men are better at becoming evil, and using it to their full advantage. Interesting. And it's also an interesting thought if we talk about, some of the traits of evilness in people, such as sociopathology and psychopathology. Generally speaking, either one of those conditions are found almost exclusively in men and not in women. Rarely do you find a woman socio or psychopath. Frequently, not all the time, but frequently, when someone is sociopathic, they are also evil. Wow. And psychopaths are almost always evil, of course, because the difference between a sociopath and a psychopath is a psychopath is into actually destroying the life of a being, of another being, whereas a sociopath is interested in destroying the growth of life and in controlling the life of others, but not necessarily in destroying the life itself. If you want to destroy the life itself, then you're becoming a murderer, a mass murderer usually, and then you're considered psychopathic. Now, interestingly, for a while, at least in psychology, these two words got very confused. But I think they're working it out now in DSM-4 and stuff like that. At any rate, when we consider the fact that men are the preferred sex to evil, then we start beginning to see how evil spreads more readily through the male-dominated traits, which includes we'll say excessive use of power and force. Women tend to not use excessive amounts of power and force even when they're relatively dark, so it's more difficult for them to be evil than men. Interesting point. Okay, so when we come back, now already we're facing another one of those breaks, yeah, but when we come back, I'm going to go into some of the areas that we need to be aware of in our world today that are particularly evil, how we can start overcoming some of this evil in the world and in ourselves if it's some of it happens to be affecting how we think or feel, and some of the more practical sides of all these conceptual ideas about what is evil. But I hope that by this point, people are saying, I'm beginning to get it. I think that this guy might be onto something, or maybe he is not. If you don't think so, or if you just want to say hi, you can give me a call still, either here or from the States or from Canada, and I'd love to hear from you. But in any case, we will be back in just about 2 minutes and 30 seconds or so, and I'll go into all these other ideas I have about how we can really overcome evil and how the world is right now being affected by it. So I'll be back in about 2 minutes and 30.
What book are you reading?
It's a novel, kind of, about romance, love, and spiritual life in general.
Kind of a novel? What do you mean?
Well, it's based on some real-life experiences and even real characters. Some of their experiences are fascinating and remarkable. I can't put this book down.
How come the title is Afterlife Love?
That's part of the fascination. This book describes the afterlife in intricate detail and even explains why things are the way they're explained.
But how can anyone write about or know that?
Some of the characters travel out of body to some places that people who've already died also go to. I'm finding it completely believable because it all makes sense and fits into a bigger picture for me.
Hon, what happens to these people?
You can read it for yourself when I'm done if you want.
Better yet, I'll get my own copy so we can discuss it while we read. Let me see. I'll write down the title. It's Afterlife Love by Niles McFlower, MacFlower.
Afterlife Love is available in some bookstores and from the publisher at agelesswisdom.com or 480-966-3132. That's 480-966-3132.
Let me tell you about most supplements that help support joint health, movement, and ease. They usually contain a few helpful substances that work on some people moderately well. For many others, these levels of help are either not enough or are not helpful at all. But there is a product that contains 36 different high-potency and very effective ingredients that support overall joint health, movement, and ease when moving. It's Freedom of Movement by Alternative Health Approaches, and it works in many different ways. This formula is critically balanced to synergistically and dramatically improve joint movement through supportive health, and usually within several hours. The relief generally lasts for an entire day and over time can be permanent. Freedom of Movement comes with a money-back guarantee. Even shipping is refunded for the first bottle. This unique formulation has helped thousands to maintain joint health. The price is $24.95 for a 90-caplet bottle. It's available from Alternative Health Approaches at 800-777-7850. Give this powerful all-natural supplement a try if you haven't found relief from other sources. That's Freedom of Movement. Call 800-777-7850.
Well, we're back, and this is Why Life Is, and I'm your host, Niles McFlower. And we've been talking tonight about what is evil. And I hope that the first two parts of the show have gotten you somewhere to believe that evil may exist or does exist, I don't know, and that there's something we can do about it. Now, this is where I really want to focus our attention now. And what is evil doing in our world today? And what is it that we can do to make some changes in ourselves and in the world to try to defeat evil? And I want to say some things that are kind of broad comments about Earth itself. Earth is one of a zillion planets. But unfortunately, or fortunately, for depending upon how you want to look at it, Earth is an experiment in attempting to overcome some of the worst kinds of evil that might exist in the universe in the future. So, for the most part, the things that are going on Earth don't even exist in most of the rest of the universe, which is a good thing. But the souls that came to Earth are here to try to overcome some of these future nasties that are going to be happening potentially on millions of planets if we aren't successful. If we are successful, we will have overcome these millions of years ahead of time, and these other planets will benefit from our consciousness or understanding of evil and how to change the new types of evil that Earth is experiencing at the present time. What are these new types? Well, in the past, for the most part, but not everywhere, evil has mostly been present astrally, meaning those things about feelings and emotions, and has affected people, human beings, through that body and senses, and has really tended to work on the desire side of life. In other words, get people to desire more power, more control, more sex, more anything. Get more of that, and that's when life will be fun and great. But on Earth, it's different. On Earth, we're dealing more with a type of evil now, not in our past, but in historical past, because we just developed it up to this point now, that is more thinking, mental type of evil. And you can call that propaganda, spin. I mean, a lot of words for it today, but it's basically changing the mental side of truth into untruth and darkness, and creating evil without affecting as much the astral nature of people as affecting their thinking apparatus or their mind, their mental mind. And so this is really important to understand. Concepts are for the first time becoming the battleground in evil. This happened pretty much about the turn of the last century, about 1900, when most of the isms were coming out. Communism, you know, and all those isms were running around. And those isms had to do with this mental side of concepts. And suddenly we had people living for evil concepts. You know, I said, well, I thought communism was really a good thing. I mean, it kind of went bad, right? I mean, because it was this idea that everybody was equal and we'd all share together, live as one, you know. Sounds like a good plan. Yeah, but you see, the problem with it was that inclusive in the plan was almost immediately the rejection of God and the use of power to control populations and force and dictatorships and massive government socialistic practices that eventually would get those people to become communists. Communism has never really existed in any national scale, only a kind of dictatorial socialism. And so, interestingly enough, that's one example of how evil works. It promises you the moon, but gives you a pain in the butt. And it does it in a way which is very sly. It convinces you that what it's doing is really good, and then it wallops you with the bad. Usually the bad is so oppressive and disastrous that people will become afraid to address it and to fight it. Okay, so on our planet, we're dealing with really a mental evil which is a very rare kind of evil, but will become more prevalent as the universe develops and ages. There have been some galaxies that have been significantly affected by this kind of evil, but there has been no galaxy that has ever been taken over by it, whereas there have been a few galaxies taken over by a more astral evil. So for the first time, we are in danger of galaxies. Ooh, that's a big thing, a galaxy. Let me tell you, a couple hundred million stars? Yeah, a couple hundred million stars? A lot of stars running around. And, you know, you get these super... super, super ridiculous numbers that you start looking at. There's just a huge number. Did I say million? I meant billion. A couple hundred billion stars that are just huge numbers of stars that are producing huge numbers of planets. And so the numbers get out there to such extreme levels, and yet you can consider a whole galaxy might at some point turn evil, not based upon the older style of evil, which is more based on desires and feelings, but one based upon mental. The danger there is that a galaxy like that could become so strong in its evil that even though the galaxies are separated by enormous amounts of time and space, it could start trying to collectively affect the entire universe. So it's a dangerous thing. But it only could happen if an awful lot of human beings started to go along with this crazy idea. Here on Earth, we're fighting it. And we fight it because it's an experiment. It's like a big laboratory. And we are the rats, maybe, in the laboratory, trying to figure out how we're going to overcome this terrible evil. Now, what is it doing in a mental fashion in our world today? There's still the emotional component, and there's still the physical one. We're still blowing people up. We're still getting people all riled up and emotional. But the thought processes involved, the concepts involved, stand behind usually things like nationalism and religious ideas and social ideas. These are the reasons and methods that evil has used in the last century plus to convey and convince us that it's not really evil. It's just trying to do its own thing. It just wants to have breathing room. It just needs to have more communication with its religious God and have the freedom to practice this without being encumbered upon by others. Yes. All of that plus much more bullshit. Now, when we are dealing with that kind of stuff, the best way for us to realize and understand that we are dealing with evil is to do just that and say, wait a second, okay, it's all right that someone wants to be able to practice a religion. I want them to be able to practice it, too. It's okay that they won't even have a community that is interested in doing the same. Fine. But they don't have the right to force everybody else to do the same and to be their religion and to practice their religious beliefs and to wear funny costumes and to hide women underneath black robes with funny-looking face things on and all kinds of other stuff. I mean, that is evil. That is evil. And to subject even one of the sexes in favor of another sex is also evil if it's done for the purpose of control. That's really what it's about, isn't it? I'm going to control others. So we look for that control thing I talked about at the beginning of the show. How much is freedom being impaired? How much is there a will of others to control still others and to gain power through the process as well? If that's going out, it's evil. I don't care what name it's being used in. I don't care if they use the fanciest and nicest names in the world. If they're doing that, it's evil. We have to recognize it. Then what do we do about it? I mean, do we go ahead and decide that we should shoot them all? Or, how do you convince people who are tempted into this system from going there? Well, the first thing is that you don't go in and practice the same methods that evil uses to convince the people who aren't evil but might become evil that they can't become evil or they shouldn't become evil. So you don't go in and use force and torture them or do crazy things to convince them not to become evil. Like, you can't become evil. If you do, I'm going to chop your head off, or I'm going to torture you, or I'm going to prevent you from doing this or that thing. No. That's not the method. The method is to help people to understand evil just the way you do. You have to show them. You have to teach them. And you have to do so by making sure that they are able to survive and live in ways that permits them to pay attention to things beyond whether or not they're going to get killed today, whether or not they're going to starve to death, whether or not they're going to have water that they can drink or a place to live. You've got to remove what evil uses as fodder from its own methods. And the fodder is all of the crap that we allow to go on in the world in the name of, our need and greed to have more ourselves. So it's our darkness that feeds evil in others and allows evil to become more powerful. We have to learn to be sharing and to be cooperative and helpful before we're going to overcome evil. And I'm thinking right now, we're in a violent war in Iraq. We have spent, I think it's over $1 trillion. $1 trillion? You know, that country that we invaded and we don't know, they won't make $1 trillion in the next 25 years, okay? And we spent it on this crazy war. Now, let's say that we spent 10%, we had only spent 10% of the war on actually, quote-unquote, getting rid of the Saddam Hussein, who was definitely evil, no question about it. And then, at that point, we had a real plan for how to help people in that country to become more conscious, because they had lived under evil. They didn't know how to be conscious. They only knew how to loot and take things and be afraid and to be manipulative and controlling. They didn't know anything else. How did we expect them to do anything else then? We were pretty stupid, weren't we? Okay. And we were stupid because we were not willing to follow through with the real needs that it takes to overcome evil. After you use force, and you do have to use force against evil that it itself is being forceful, you have to use force in the physical world, not in the astral or the mental, but in the physical world, you have to use force to overcome evil because that's what it uses. So you may have to go and shoot some of the evil ones. That's okay. I mean, I'm not saying I don't believe that it's a good thing to kill. I don't believe it's a good thing to destroy. But I'm saying that you can do that if you have to, because evil will destroy you first if you don't. But at the same point, and you've got to have a lot more going than just that. If it's necessary, if it's absolutely necessary to do that, and you have to have great wisdom and great love in any use of force in any situation, believe me, not easy. That's another show and another topic to go into. But in the meantime, okay, so what are we going to do then? Well, after you get that far with it, you really need to be looking at, okay, then what the heck am I going to do now? Well, the process has to have been planned out as much as any military process for redeveloping consciousness in the populations or population that you're dealing with. And you've got to deal with the hatred and angers that the people had inside them towards each other and their differences, as well as towards and about themselves living by being tutored by a dark leader, you see. So you've got to get over all that, and that could take years. But we could have taken maybe half of the money we spent on the war in Iraq and have used it in a very intelligent way and have brought the population to a different level. We probably needed to start off with the political problems that we were going to have immediately through this process. We didn't do that. Okay, so that's just one example. Now, I have a whole bunch more. You know what? I'm running out of time, and I hate to say this, but this show is only half done. So I think I'm going to have to do What is Evil 2 next week in order to complete all of the ideas of how we're going to deal with a world that is infiltrated with evil, all of the different things we can do to change this. So I will do that, because I don't think that I'm finished by any stretch of the imagination. I'm just getting started. Just getting started telling you how I think we can make this world a better place and correct you some of the problems that we're facing right now. They are geopolitical. They are financial and material. And it goes on and on. And we need to be looking at some of the solutions for dealing with this, because if we don't, very soon, we could be at a position where by our ignorance and illusions and not paying attention, things could get very, very bad compared to where they are today. I know things aren't great today, so that's a scary thing, isn't it? It is to me, anyway. So at any rate, I think next week we'll continue with our show on what is evil, the more advanced parts of it, and especially the parts that deal with how we can change our world to become a much better place to live in. For those of you who might be running around the Phoenix area, I'm going to be over at Mesa Fiesta. Where am I going to be? I'm going to be in Paradise Valley next on August 2nd in Phoenix from 7-8-15, talking about intelligent life and other worlds. So I would prefer it if you can come, because I love when people show up and we can chat together about intelligent life and other worlds. I don't have time to go through all the other places I'm going to be or tell you any more about it, but at any rate, I want you to know that we're going to be further discussing this subject and much more on next week's show. So for Why Life Is, this has been Niles McFlower. Until next week.
You're gonna make me go to space.